Now our next guest, go ahead and line up on the microphone there, Joey. We got Joey Gilbert here on the show today.
Hello there.
We're going to talk about some couple things. What do you want to talk about? We're talking about getting veterans involved in the Nevada caucus.
Yes, sir.
Outstanding. Exactly. Why is that so important? Because a lot of folks don't know that the caucus is really the way you start garnering that social capital to get somebody elected.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I really didn't know much about it until the last couple months. I mean, we've always heard about it, but I really didn't understand it. And that's because it's not something that's really put out there. And it's not a tough thing, but the caucus is actually how we get our candidate or how I would get my candidate to make sure he's going to be on the ballot. A lot of people think, oh, they just show up and vote when it's time to vote, and they don't realize that in this state, it's become somewhat important to have this early voting mechanism and to put who we want as our candidate. So it's an important time.
And we see this stuff going on like right now. Then the Iowa caucus, got to be the Iowa caucus because that's where everything starts. But it doesn't just stop there. It goes to other states. It's coming to Nevada. People are going to have to get involved.
Absolutely.
And because if you're not getting involved – and you know what? I think if I got to make any political statement, I think they keep a lot of you guys out there stupid because they don't want you to get involved. They just want the same people to show up each time for the caucus. It's that way they can kind of stack the deck on who votes because whoever wins that caucus gets on the ballot. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. That's correct. And Sean might probably know more about caucuses than I do, but at the same time, I'll just say this. You need to be registered as a Republican. You need to go to your precinct here in town, and it's on February 23rd is when you have to vote. You don't have to stay there all day. You don't have to be there for a long time. You just need to show up and vote and get it done and then get out the door.
Two and a half hours tops. You stay for everything. You don't have to stay for everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Correct. If you don't want to be there to vote for delegates and stuff like that, you don't have to be there.
Okay.
You caucus for your candidate. You can be in out as little as 15, 20 minutes.
Absolutely. Sean's absolutely right. That's what people need to understand is they don't have to go there and stay there for 2 hours. Just show up, get your vote done, and get out of there. And I'm telling you, what I'm excited about is I think Mr. Trump has done an amazing job with veterans and with veteran programs. At least as far as I can see, out of everybody donating, he almost raised close to $6 million the other night. Now, it still hasn't been said what charity's giving them to, but they are going to.
No, I got the list. For those that don't know, we got that list. It's going to come up later on in the show.
I know Fisher House was in there, which I...
Fisher House is in there. Dan Cirillo's
I'm particular to Fisher House. You know, I went down there and did an event for them with Denzel Washington.
Where at? Which one?
The Fisher House in Texas. San Antonio or Sam Houston?
Fort Sam Houston.
Correct.
San Antonio.
My father and I went there as a guest.
Really?
It was very cool after the contender. Got to meet tons of guys. Spent 2 days there. It was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had.
Well, let's talk about that real quick because some people that are watching right now don't know who you are and they don't know your relation to the warfighter community, specifically with your dad, and why you're talking right now.
Well, you know, my relationship with the warfighter community goes back quite a bit. First and foremost, I was a boxer at the University of Nevada. And we had a great boxing team, and we were a perennial powerhouse along with Air Force Academy. All the academies had the toughest fighters, and that's just how it is. They were in great shape. So you had Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, West Point, VMI, everybody in the military services. So it was very cool to make those bonds, which carried out.
Right.
And after law school, I ended up going on the contender with Sylvester Stallone, and then I did 3 USO tours where I went to Afghanistan twice, and I went to Iraq once, and I got to meet a lot of great friends that are people I still call friends today that I met over there, and I have the utmost respect for them. That coupled with my father having 3 deployments as a trauma surgeon for the United States Navy. I have to be careful because he's attached to the Marine Corps. He gets a little upset about
yes,
that.
Yes, he does. He doesn't want to drop his EGA.
You know, I just think when you get to see these men and women over there in the position they're in and the ones that were deployed long times and you get to spend time with them, you understand the true meaning of sacrifice, what they've gone through over there with families, with just anything. I can't imagine missing being away from my daughter for 5 weeks, let alone 5 months, or some of these guys that I got extended past a year. So more than anything, it's a respect thing, and I've gotten to become friends with a lot of guys.
Yeah, I mean, people don't understand the deployments. So, you know, I put out a video the other week, and I told America, and I don't care if they really don't understand or they don't get it or they haven't come around to the logic yet. But at the end of the day, America, let me explain something to you. We own your ass. Do you understand that? We own your ass. The warfighter community owns your ass because if we don't go do that job that you don't want to go do, kind of sucks for you. Your life is going to suck. And the reason your life is going to suck is because, yeah, we might not get invaded by an invading force because too many of you people think that's impossible. But they start jacking with your economy. Bread starts costing 10 bucks a loaf and gas starts costing so much you can't own a car. I'm pretty much guessing about that point in time, you're going to be like, hey, why doesn't somebody do something about this? And then you're going to want to send a bunch of warfighters someplace to deal with that situation. And you're going to be like, oh, they're so awesome. I just thank you for your service. Well, guess what? We're trying to avoid all that stuff for you people. So just shut your mouth. Realize that we own your ass. You ought to be a lot nicer to us. And just show some damn respect. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to go do that, do you? No, you don't want to go do that. But we do. And we'll go do it. So you can shut up and handle things. But meanwhile, when we come back, if every warfighter community is the greatest of that generation, well, the warfighter community right now is the greatest of this generation. And we will be known more for what we do here than what we did over there. And what we did over there was extraordinary. You just don't know about it yet. But what we do here will be amazing. You're seeing us get involved in politics, in radio, in media, in Hollywood. It's everywhere. In business. It's everywhere. You can't stop us. You can't stop this machine. It's huge. It's 23 million strong, and it's only going to get stronger. Joey Gilbert, what's your response?
My response is exactly. I think that we have a huge pool of veterans in this country like we've never had before. And I think that this government and the people that we've put to protect and to help run this country need to do what they were put in charge to do, which is take care of the warfighters. You can't pick up a paper today without reading about how their medical care and health care is in the toilet, how they're not getting access to doctors, how they've got these – the delays are still there. Guys are still dying. They're dying waiting for care. They're taking their own lives. And I truly believe it's an epidemic. I think there's been, you know, gross and irresponsible underreporting when you read stuff online that's common. To find, I mean, do a search. It says 8 of the largest states with the 8 largest bases didn't report. Mm-hmm. When you start thinking those numbers, and I'm a numbers guy, you start reading those numbers, you're going to see that the problem's much bigger than they're leading on. And I think that being proactive and taking that, you know, showing initiative is what's going to stop this. And when I stop it, I mean, stop the anger that's brewing in the country for these guys not getting taken care of. And I mean, guys and girls, it's not a race card here. It happens to be, if they got deployed, if they came back and they're not getting the services they need, we need to step up and help.
I'll tell you guys the next big thing that's going to happen with the VA, you see it, I'm seeing it at least once a week in the news, and that's medical marijuana. Across the board, warfighters are saying, we want medical marijuana. We want to change the schedule of this medication. It helps us. We have, I don't know anybody that's committed suicide that was just using marijuana. But you know what? I've yet to see a warfighter that happened to take their own life that was not taking benzodiazepines or one of the medications that was given to him. I think there's a better way to do it. That's all I'm saying. I think there's a better way to do it. Tipping Point Boot Color, stand by. We'll be right back.